It's going to be worthless. But I believe he showed up today. I know my mom got some help out of the preaching.
Amen.
I know me and my wife, you know, like I told him at Sio, the Lord preaches these messages to me before you guys even get them. He already preaches to me. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm studying them out and I'm going, the whole week I'm begging God, please get this right. You want me to get up there and you want me to preach just to people, but I got to have this right, Lord. So help me. Give me the strength to do it, you know. So I get them too, you know. I'm not just pointing my finger at you and saying, you have to do it. No. Right here, this guy, I'm imperfect man saved by a perfect God. That's it. I mean, that's all there is to it. And I've been in a lot of pain lately. And it's just driving me nuts. But my mom said today, she goes, you know, you can't tell when you're up there preaching. She said, it's a miracle. I kid you, my wife has been watching me for the last couple weeks. And I'm at home crying in tears. It's just killing me. And then I get up to preach, and people can't even tell. And I'm just telling you, God gives me mercy when I'm up here. And as long as I'm being obedient to what he tells me to do, I'm just telling you, he gives me grace and mercy.
Amen.
There's no other way for me to say it, no other way for me to put it. But God is good. I preached over there. I preached on the first one, 10 o'clock. Well, man, I can't remember where I put 10 o'clock. Was man. Oh, a saved person, huh?
In Christ Jesus.
Created in Christ Jesus. Go look it up. There's a lot of things that happen to a person when they're created in Christ Jesus. That's something the Lord gave me a study on. And we're going to put it on the website, but I got the verses. I'm just telling you, go look up what it means to be created in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, there's power there. And then the second, I preached at 11 o'clock, a Christian's calling. Everybody knows, somebody's called to be a pastor, somebody's called to be this. Listen to me. If you're a saved person, if you claim the name of Jesus Christ and you're sitting in this room right now, you're called to be holy, separate, pure. You're called to be salt. You're called to be what he wants you to be. You're called to love your brethren. Listen, that goes for every single Christian in here. There's no excuse. You know why? Because he's not a respecter of any persons. I'm just telling you right now, be holy for I am holy. That's what he calls a Christian to be. Come out from among them, be ye separate. He calls a Christian to that. Not everybody's called to be a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher or a musician or whatever, but you are called to live a holy life, a separate life, a life full of salt, that people are going to desire what Jesus Christ is doing, that they're able to see what he's doing in their life and want that. You ever wonder why people that around you and that in your life don't want what you have? Because they're not seeing Jesus, they're seeing your garbage.
Well,
that's just something the Lord's been dealing with me on about myself.
Amen.
I'm just telling you. You want people to see what Jesus Christ done, to step out of the way and let him step in. Created in Christ Jesus and called to those things is part of being created in Christ Jesus. Part of what happens to a believer. So anyway, today we're going to preach on God's standard, singular. I didn't say standards. God's standard. Okay? Isaiah 49:22 is what I'm going to go ahead and read. Isaiah 49:22. I'll give you a second to give there. Sometimes I like to jump ahead of the gun. Yeah, thank you. I like to jump the gun and I'll just start preaching my whole message before I even read the text. But I'd rather just get out there and see what the Lord has to say out of his word, because my words are they're really crazy sometimes. So I'm just telling you. I get so mixed up and tongue-tied. I said, all right, you know when that happens, I'll just back up. You'll see me back up from a pulpit. I'll go like this. I'll say, all right, well, you've got to take over. And then I'll get back. Boom, it gets me back on track. Because I get tongue-tied when I try to get myself. Isaiah 49:22. And it says this. 49:22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up the standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. We know this is talking about the Gentile. We know this is talking about us. God's got a standard. We read here in the Word that God has set His standard to the people. The word standard here is used in singular form. Why? Because it's God's way or no way. There's only one standard, and that's God's way. God has set the standard, singular, in the way the man to get saved, the man comes to repentance, the man is to live, the man is to study, read, and do what God says. There's only one standard, and God sets it that way. But let me go on and explain. Though the word standard here is used in singular form, there are many substandards to the standard that God has set up, and they are all led. They all lead back to Him. They all lead back to His standard. They all lead back to something God had already ordained. Something God has already set in place. And that's where it's all going to lead back to. I'm going to show you that out of the Word of God. God has set these standards up, and they must be followed. He set them up because man could not and would never set the right standards for himself without the Holy Ghost leading them to. It is not in man to set such standards. Therefore, God has stepped in and done so. Let's take a look at some of those standards God set up. First, I must come to the realization of being lost and separated from God. Galatians 3:22 says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Believe. It's God's standard that a person must come to the realization that they are lost. Here's what man has done. Here, read this Roman road. Here, pray this prayer. You're okay. They have no clue. No clue why there's separation between them and God. They have no clue why they even need to be saved or washed in the blood. They have no clue what's going on in the whole thing. Listen to me. Paul says that if it wasn't for the law, he would have not known. Listen to me. People have told me for years when I was out there, they would just try to bring all this stuff to me and pray this prayer. And you know what it did for me? Zero. But when I came to the realization that I was a lawbreaker, and I'm talking about God's breaking God's law, that's when I realized, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. God didn't tell a man to hear, go out there, get this little flyer to somebody, and that's my standard. He did not do that for a single person. God's standard is totally different than man's ways. I'm just telling you that right now. They are not the ways you think it's going to happen. We're all saved one way, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're saved by Him. We're saved. That's it. He gives us the saving faith. It's over. But not all of us are dealt the same way. Jesus Christ dealt with me differently than He dealt with you. He's got to open your heart. That inner part that you want to keep closed up, He's got to get in there and bring you to that contrite heart. He's got to bring you to that point of contrition. Nobody else can do it. Nobody. Not a human being. I can make you feel real bad really quickly about yourself. I can help you see how broken your spirit is and how broken your heart is. But only God can bring you to the place of contrition. Mm-hmm. To that point where you finally see and know, whoa. Man, let me tell you something that happens to somebody when they come to the point of contrition. Number one, it says salvation happens. Number two, they finally realize and am so sorry for the things that they ever done against God. If you only come up here brokenhearted, you don't see that contrary. You don't see what you've done against God is wrong. It has to go deeper than what man has set. And man has set these standards, and people no longer can get to that point in their life. Because you have some man jumping on them, and it's not letting them get to that point. God has set a standard for somebody to get saved. In Isaiah 20 years, He mightily oppressed the children of Israel. 900 chariots of iron. I already said this. And if He did that for 20 years, what doesn't He know what it's going to take for each person to get saved? What if He wanted to oppress you for 19 years? What if He kept you there? You know why He kept them there? So for once, they would come to a contrary heart. You know throughout the Scripture, they were brokenhearted. They always cried out to God, but He said, I'm not ready to answer you yet. You're not contrite. Wouldn't He do that with somebody He's trying to save? You know why? Because then it happens permanently and forever, for eternity. Done. There's nothing else. That's it. It's over. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Why? Because I had a contrary heart. I came to Him with the realization, whoa, man has nothing for me. But He had everything for me. His standard was what I needed to see. God has set standards. Galatians 3:23 to 25 says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law and shut up in the faith that we should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a school. Dale Morey is not bound by the law. But that law had to take me from one place to the next. Seeing God's law had to bring me from what I am as a lost person to the faith, my faith in Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of the law. It's to show you one point after another that you're a lawbreaker. That you're a lawbreaker. That, excuse me. We all can raise our hands and say, yeah, I've done bad things in my life. But God needs you to see, no, you're a lawbreaker against Him. You've broken His law. He's the one who you got the problem with. I can do wrong to people. You see, you do wrong to people. But I've never sinned against people. People have that whole thing all mixed up, messed up. They have no clue. It's not clear to them whatsoever. That's why it is up to a man of God to get up here and preach the word exactly for what it means so that people can see. They can see. People are being deceived. They're being tricked. Why? Because they're following God, a man's standards. They have put God's standards on the back burner and they're not even paying attention to it anymore.
Right.
And then you see all these people who claim a salvation and there's nothing to them. Nothing. Nothing. What happened to me? What happened to Dale Morey almost 4 years ago when things just started dramatically changing in my life? What happened? It ain't just for me. Nobody forced me into anything. I tell you what, our pastor is not one to set standards on anybody. He didn't do it to me. But you know what's happening? People like you are sitting in church pews and pastors got their hand of oppression on them. They're putting those standards on your life and guess what it's doing? It's stopping the Holy Ghost from ever doing any convicting because you believe you're okay. You believe you're okay. You're fine. You wear a skirt. Yeah, you're fine. You sing some Christian song. You're fine. You're okay. You don't worry. No, it's just the devil attacking. Don't worry about it. Ignore that whole thing. Oh, really? You know what our pastor used to tell me and Amy? You got to just have to face it. If I could take it from you, I would. But you're just going to have to face it. You know what? Just face it. It's okay. Admit you're lost. God already knows that. He's trying to get you to really see it, though. It won't happen when you're listening to man's standards. I'll tell you that much right now. The oppression of man. The oppression of man is stopping the power of God on people's lives. He's pulling out of that quick. He don't want. You don't think he wants part of that? I don't think he wants part of that. So one must be brought under realization they are condemned under the law of God. Before one knows the faith of Jesus Christ, they have to come under condemnation. They have to come to the realization that they're lost. You can't come to Christ any other way. So tell me, is man's standards or is God's standard going to show you that? It's going to be God's standard. This is why He wrote this. This is why it was given to people. So they can come to that realization. You know what man is telling people to do? Go ahead and put them away. You don't need that anymore. They're relying on some guy to get up here, and we need our pastors and preachers. We need that. But it's not for you not to go home and check. It's not for you to go home and not study it out. The Word of God was given to us so that we can go there. So we can learn those things. So He can show us what He needs. Listen to me. I learn a lot from hearing our pastors and evangelists and stuff when they come in. But I learn more when I'm sitting at home.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And you know that's no disrespect.
No, that's the truth.
Because I learn a lot from him. I go to him and Pastor Hand for wisdom all the time because I just did things I don't know. I'm a baby, man. I'm only 3.5 years old in the Lord. I'm still a baby in Christ. I'm still walking in this thing. I'm still learning. I still got a diaper halfway on. You know what I mean? I need my pastor. I need them guys. But I just know this, that, you know, since I got saved, when I'm alone with God, He shows me His standard, and I'm just telling you now, thank you, honey, I appreciate that. I learn more sitting at home, alone with Him. Why? Because it's quiet. I can get all that noise out. I mean, my kids are loud and stuff, but for some reason, I can block it out. I don't know what it is, Pastor. I'm reading the Word. Amy goes, I don't know how you do that. You know, I'm in full concentration on the Word. I'm like, you know, the house is half falling apart, the wind's blowing, kids are yelling and screaming. She's like, can't you hear what's going on? No, I'm sorry, I can't. She goes, how do you do that? I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, God is good. His standard, He wants to show us that. Got to take time and be in there with Him. So anyway, we must be under the condemnation under God's law before one can come to the faith in Jesus. They must become lost under God's law and be kept there until such time as the Holy Ghost reveals this to them.
People need to sit under the preaching. Sit underneath good King James Bible preaching.
They need to go home, read their Bibles. If you're lost, please listen to me. I was a lost person almost 4 years ago. But I'm just going to tell you now, power came into me and my wife's life, even as an unsaved person, by reading this Bible.
That's right.
We didn't get the complete satisfaction that we have now. But some things changed in our life. We started realizing, oh my goodness, this Bible is real. There's something real to this thing. And you know what? People don't, they won't stay there.
Well, I've tried that before. Trying and doing it are two different things. Well, I believe the Bible. Believing it and living it are two different things. They're totally two different worlds.
Totally two different worlds. When you read something in here, this is what God wants you to take to heart. This is what He wants you to apply to your life. That's what He wants. That's what it's for. For us.
That's something. God didn't just save us and leave us out there by herself. He saved us and gave us the Bible, which is in our instructions. He gave us pastors and preachers and friends and evangelists. That's what He's given us. Why don't we take advantage of them? Because man's standard has gotten away. As long as you do what that man tells you, you're okay.
And they will have you believe in that. Me and my wife were talking about it. Our men of God that we love dearly were just trying to coax my wife into this garbage. That was His standard. God had other standards for my wife. Thank God she didn't. You know why? Thank God, Pastor would just tell us, go read your Bible. Go read your Bible. Go trust Jesus. Go trust Him. He should tell me, and would aggravate. Will you trust me? I'm trying. Go read the Bible. Trust Jesus. I'm trying. Are you? No, I'm not. See? Because Pastor knows it's not his standard that would do anything. God gave him standards to live by. In which I seen, for the first time in my life, I really seen Jesus inside somebody, and that was that man. Well, he could stand there and take the things that I used to say to him, hand me a credit card, all this stuff, and just love me and my wife. And I mean, he wasn't afraid to tell me the things that I needed to hear. I said, I need what he has. It was Jesus Christ. You know what he was? He was being the salt. He was called to be salt. And guess what? He's salt. He wasn't listening to man's standard. You know our pastor is not about some man's standards. But he's about God's standards. And you know what? Watching him and reading this Bible has given me standards. And thank you, buddy. I want God's standards in my life. I don't need a man oppressing me. I don't need somebody come up and tell me this and that. God and His standard. They must be lost. Verse 23 is clear on that. But before faith came, the law came before faith. You see that? The law was there to show us why. It's going to be our schoolmaster to bring us under faith in Christ. That law had to be there. Had to be set in that place. Had to be there. Why? We are kept under law to be shut up with faith unto the faith which should come afterwards be revealed. Faith was shut off to them until they believed that they were guilty and lost. And the only way to believe in faith is by the schoolmaster, which is the law. I didn't have Jesus Christ saved in faith as a lost person. But I had the law of God trying to bring me there. Today people are going, well, yeah, I'm lost. And they're trying to skip over the whole thing. I'm not saying Jesus can't save somebody instantly. It does happen instantly. But sometimes He's got to reach into somebody's heart and He's got to work on that thing and show it, open it, and reveal it. Show it, open it, and reveal it. Until it gets to the point where you go, oh, and you see. Now you go, okay, it's over. It's done. How fast was your salvation, huh? I mean, you can't even count how quick it was. It was so quick. But there were things God had to show her. He had to get in there and show her. Him. It had to be God to do it. Because man tried doing that to us before, and what happened to us? Anything? I tell you this, we claim salvation, and our whole life is sliding downhill quicker than it could be. Thank God, God sent a man of God who preached the word of God, came here and just started loving people and preaching to them, and guess what happened? He saved our marriage, for sure, no question about that. Saved our life, going to spend eternity. I get to step in the gates of heaven, boom, and eat all I want. I don't have to worry about hot diabetes, nothing. Yeah. Woo! The same. Why? I didn't follow a standard. I know one thing my pastor has taught me, don't follow a man's standard. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God and stand on His standard. That's probably some of the most manly advice I could ever have gotten from him. Just watch it. He's not about any man's standard. Who is our doors closed to here? There's not a single soul he wouldn't let in here. Because he knows that if God gets in there, it's going to be a whole different thing. It's going to be a whole different ball. But you know what? People don't want that anymore. Verse 24 is clear. It says, wherefore the law was. The law was. That's past tense. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. How was that? The law was. At some point in time, somebody had to show you, God had to show you the law. Because it was. It was. It was put in place to show you what you are. Then you can come to Jesus Christ. Then faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus Christ, saving faith, could be revealed to you. You could have told me, oh, you did bad things. Yes, I did bad things. But it wasn't the bad things that I was doing that got me separated from God. It was the thing that dwelled in me, that sin nature, that kept me separate from God. That not being saved. Not having His blood to wash me. There's no way on God's green earth I would have ever had saving faith on my own. Just, it wouldn't have happened to me. I couldn't believe in that. It was too hard. It was too hard. I knew there was a salvation. It was for sure. But it was so hard for me to get a hold of that. It was so hard for me to get a hold of that. But once Jesus gave it to us, it. It was over with.
That's right.
I had faith to keep following. It's not of yourselves. He gives you that faith. Why? Because you can't have the saving faith. He's got to give you that saving faith. I believe that with all my heart. Why? Because it's not of yourself. You can't go boast now that you saved yourself. That's what it says.
Right.
Lest any man should boast, you can't go and say you did it yourself. Because you couldn't get it without him. That's what it says. One of God's standards is he has set in place is one must come under condemnation of the law to realize that one is eternally lost and condemned and separated from God. One must understand that the sin nature is the lawbreaker and must be dealt with. Man's standards cannot show a lost, wicked person these things by leading them through a few verses in a prayer. The knowledge of being lost and Jesus' saving faith can only come from God, and it is His standards. We see it in Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I think men are out there trying to boast on the works. Oh, I got another one. Oh, got another one. Oh, got another one. Oh, got another one. That's your works. What garbage is that? He just said it wasn't of your works. Why are you boasting on it? These people just need to be prayed for, loved, sat underneath a church, hear the King James Bible, told to go home and read it, told to go home and pick it up, and then let God finish off the work.
Amen.
Let God finish the work. Not lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. It is His grace to show us we are lost. Take that to heart. In His mercy and His grace will He take the time to show you you're lost. A lot of people don't look at it that way. But it's the truth. Oh, it's so hard to show me that good. He's having mercy on you. Why He's showing you that? He's having grace on you. Why He's showing? Because at least He's showing you that thing. He's spending time with you to show you that thing. Because He loves you. It's not His will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If that's the case, then guess what? It's His mercy and His grace to spend time with you to open your eyes to what you really are. This is what people do, though. They want no part of it. But they're the first ones to yell, I need help, please help, God help me. You know, I used to do that, remember?
Yeah.
Help, help, help. Well, you got to do this. Oh, I can't do that. Well, how are you going to get help if you won't do what he says? When a doctor gives you a prescription, you do what he says because you want help. Well, Jesus Christ is trying to help you, but you won't do what he says. How can he help you? You're the one denying it. You're the one getting rid of it. You know, I used to tell my wife all the time, I said, babe, I said, you're more comfortable in your misery. You're more comfortable in your comfort zone than to get help from Jesus Christ. You know how many people are sitting in church pews today that are more comfortable in their misery than to go get help from Jesus? It's been there the whole time. It's right in front of them. Pastor used to tell me that. I go, where? I can't see it. Because I wouldn't open my eyes to where the help was. I'm just telling you now. Listen. Stop with the stop with God. Listening to your standards. Stop listening to man's standards. See what God has for you. See what His standard is. I'm just telling you now, His standards are life changing. Another of God's standards is found in Job 33:27-20. It says, "He looketh upon men. If any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light." Three things God is asking for there. To realize that you sinned. Against who? Mankind? No. You sinned against God. You need to come to the realization that you sinned against God. How does that happen? The law. Okay? That's what a schoolmaster is going to show you. I wish it was that easy, but it's not. For illustration's sake, that's what the schoolmaster has to be there. Has to be in place. That law has to be there. Why? Because you'll never come to the point that you're lost if you don't know it. If you don't see it, if you don't understand it. And that's what Job is saying here. I have sinned. What else have you done? Perverted that which is right. Perverted which is right doesn't mean, you know, nasty sexual abusive things. That could fit in there, but that's not all it entails. Perverted that which is right. Have you ever lied? Perverted that which is right. Have you ever disobeyed your mom and your dad? Then you perverted which was right. Why? Because that's your wicked heart. That's what's in you. That's you born to do that. It's your sin nature. Only God can reveal to you your sin nature and what it's really all about. How, you know, let me tell you, if you think that this Bible doesn't know you, you're just afraid to know who you really are, so you won't read it. Because this Bible will show you exactly who you are. I'm just telling you right now. And it's a scary thing. I don't know about anybody else whoever got saved, but it scared the daylights out of me. It did. I wasn't afraid of the flames of hell as much as I was of what I was. That's what scared me. I mean, God forbid, I didn't want to go to hell, but I was scared of what I was. I used to tell my wife, I can't sleep. She'd say, why? I'm afraid I'm going to get mad tomorrow and I might hurt somebody. I was so afraid of my anger. I was afraid of who I was. That's a scary place. Scary place to be, but you know what? That's what you need to see. People are not being shown that today. They have some man jumping on them, trying to tackle him and give him, oh, look at, come on, stand up. What? Tell me. What happened just 10 minutes ago? Person never been in church a day in their life. What just happened 10 minutes ago? Oh, I got saved. And you never see that person again. The person probably jumps off a bridge and kills herself. Because some fool wanted to open their mouth. Why don't you just quietly, after church, go to that person and say, hey, listen, I want to spend some time with you. I want to show you. I want to start teaching you the Word of God. I want to start going through some things and going through some verses and show up. And then Sundays and Wednesdays, I'll come pick you up, maybe we can keep you in church, and you keep that person right where the Holy Ghost can work on. And let God do that work. And you know what? God is not willing that any should perish. He asks us to do the watering. Somebody plants the seed, somebody waters, and then eventually, guess what God does? After 4 years, He gave the increase in me. God gave the increase. God saved me, not man. But it took somebody to water. It took somebody to plant. And then God gave the increase when He was ready. How's that work? They can't get that today. And that's a sad, sad thing. Why? It's man's standards. Man's standards are not saving people. Man's standards are leaving the people lost. They have no clue. Now they're so blinded. So blinded. So blinded that they never want to listen again. I've tried that garbage. I was introduced to somebody at church today, at another church, and I said, "Well, I gotta go. I'll see you guys later. I'm gonna go back there at 6. If anybody wants to come tonight, you can come." I said, "I gotta go to my church now. You know, when I preach the 1 o'clock service." He goes, "Oh, what church is it?" Yeah, I said, "Black Creek Baptist Church." He goes, "Oh, that's your church?" That's the reaction I got. That's the reaction. That's how it is, man. Yep, that's my church. I love it. Love the people that are there.
Did I say any wrong thing about anybody here? I never do.
I'm not into that garbage. I'm into what Jesus Christ can do for people. You know what I told them there? I said, Pastor didn't look at Dale Morey for Dale Morey. He's seen what Jesus Christ was going to do to Dale Morey. That's how he's seen me. That's how he was able to love me like he did.
Let me tell you something. Romans Road, the easy believers and all that prayer garbage. You can't love nobody. You ain't going to love nobody and do that garbage to them. You just need to let God back off and let God do what He's got to do.
I'm just telling you guys, it's a horrible, it's a mixed, a messed up thing out there. You know why a lot of people might not like the Black Creek Baptist Church? Because we stand on the Word of God. We don't pick and choose. You take it for a whole, live it as a whole, breathe it as a whole, believe it as a whole. Mm-hmm. And people think we're crazy. They think we're nuts. You're going to hear that. People are going to think you're nuts, dude. You're brainwashed, dude. I'm mouthwashed, body washed, brainwashed. All the washing that I can get. I'm washed in the blood of Christ. I like being washed. I like being clean. I smell good for the first time in my life. I like being clean. Clean shaven, clean everything.
All right? Just how it is. Why? Well, you're nuts. Good. I'm glad to be nuts then.
If this is being nuts, then I want more of it.
That's right.
I mean, I do. I'm addicted to being nuts. Another standard. People have to see they're perverted that which is right. Here's the last one. This is where it's so hard to get people to understand. It says in Job 33:27, it says, it profiteth thee not. Think about your life right now. Just stop for the next few seconds and think. What did your past life do for you? How good was it? What did it honestly do without Jesus Christ? How much has it really profited you? I can only speak for myself. I know it did profit me zero. Zip. Zilch. Did me no good. But to get somebody to believe that, to get somebody to see that, to get somebody to have their heart and their eyes open to that very thing anymore these days, not going to happen. You know why? Because man's standards get in the way of what God is trying to do in that person's life. Over and over again. I've probably been preaching on this man's standards. I've been preaching on this for quite a few weeks now of how man has been getting in the way. Why do you think that is? I think God is trying to show somebody some things in this, and I'm telling you, in this church. God, listen, everything that I'm getting, is it coming from me? I believe I'm using the Word. I believe I'm using His Word to get this stuff out of there. Because I'm just telling you now, God's trying to put a warning out to people that we've gone the wrong way. It's okay, though. After one has seen that they are lost, one must see what they have done and committed against God and God alone. We may do wrong towards people, but we sin against God. Psalm 51:4. Against thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. People will admit they have done wrong, but they have no clue who and what they have sinned against. Again, man's standards cannot show them this. One must understand that they are a lawbreaker against God and sin against Him. Many people have a broken heart for what they've done, but they miss God's standard, which is found in Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrary heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Job 33:27-28 shows this very thing. When a person comes to realize they have sinned against God, they perverted which was right, and it profited them not. And only then will they come to a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Only then. This God will not despise. This is His standard that He has set. Therefore, He will honor it. Any other way will be despised. Any other way will be despised. And it's proof. It's proof in all this baloney that people are trapped up in. That their way is not doing anything. God said He won't despise when a person comes with a broken spirit, a broken and contrary heart. This God will not despise. But nobody's going there, so therefore God has despised it. I'm just telling you now. Listen, I've been all the way to Schenectady, New York. I know I ain't far, but I mean, it's far. Going to a Bible-believing church and to see the baloney. Just to see, and I go, all he cares about, all that pastor cares about, is his ways and fitting in his mold. 30 years ago, there may have been some power in that church. He does have people he led to the Lord sitting in there, but no new ones. You look at the newer people in there and you're like, that ain't saved. I'm sorry, no. Why? Because his standards got in the way. His head got bloated up. He got in the crowd. He started running with the crowd. Because they didn't want to believe. You know, some people are so afraid to stand on what God's Word said because their little buddies might not believe it. God forbid if I ever get tangled up in that. The Word of God says I'm going to believe it. I don't care what you think. I just don't. Why? Because the Word of God, every believer is supposed to realize and believe that the Word of God will overtrump anything a man has to say. Yes or no? Is that not right?
Amen.
So that if I believe what the Word of God is saying in context, if I believe what the Word of God is saying in context, and you're trying to tell me something different, I'm not going to believe you.
That's right.
If I believe something and the Word of God is telling me that I'm contradicting it, then I'm going to believe the Word of God. I've got to change my whole belief system around. Why? Because God's standards are not our standards. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're much higher than ours. That's what it says in Isaiah. So then why are we trying to bring God down to our level? We could be comfortable, call ourselves a Christian, do whatever we want. It's not what He called us to. If God gives you the grace, go listen to that sermon that was preached this morning about what God has called us to. You tell me if He wants to leave you in your comfort zone. I'll ask you one question. He went to that cross to die. Absolute agony before, absolute agony hanging on it, and died for each and every person. He went through all that to save you and leave you to the same old stinky, nasty person you've always been. Is that what you're trying to make me believe? You're trying to tell me that for one second, Jesus Christ went to that cross of Calvary for every single person. He saved you just to leave you the same old wretched person you've always been? I can show you in the Bible over and over again. No. No and no. No, no, and no. There are things as a regular Joe Schmo Christian, that's just a regular person sitting in them pews, that you are called to.
That's right.
Now, everybody's called out to the ministry, but you are called to certain things that God has set standards for your life. And when you disobey Him, when you directly and absolutely pick and choose and just listen to what you want to listen to and hear what you want to hear and read what you want to read, there's a serious issue there. Serious issue. God is not a man that He should lie. So if He doesn't lie, do you think for one second that He would compromise His righteousness to save you from the pits of hell? He would not. If that's the case, then He wouldn't be a righteous God. He wouldn't be right in His judgments. He'd be corrupt just like us. God is not going to compromise for you. You're either going to come to Him the way His standards tell you to, or don't come to Him at all. That's how it's going to happen. And then you know what? You're going to get in all a little hissy fit, and you're going to blame God for every wrong thing in life. Matter of fact, when the angels grab you up and tie you and bind you and cast you into the flame of hell, you're going to blame God because it was your choice that you made. God is not a cosmic rapist where He's going to force Himself on anybody. That's your choice. So when you die and go to hell, you made that choice. He did not. He made the choice on the cross of Calvary. You can't blame anybody but your own foolishness, your own heart, your own wickedness, your own sin nature. That's who you blame. And somebody say, well, how can He be a loving God and send somebody to hell because they choose to go there? He gave you the other choice. You don't want it. You see, that's God's standard. Pick Him and live. Don't pick Him and die. That's His standard. Tell me, where is there an in-between? Can you show me in the Bible where there's an in-between? It's either Him or no way. He's not going to compromise that. I believe wholeheartedly that the Lord loves me. I believe that God loves me, but He would not compromise for me for one second. And I struggled with that for 4 years. I tried to get God to compromise and come on my level. Didn't happen. Just not happening. You will meet Him on His level, on His standard, and that's the only way it's going to happen. And He's good like that because afterwards it's a relief. You're so happy. So happy that happened. After one has seen that the standards of man have long oppressed people in the churches. The way they dress, live, walk, and talk because of what man has given them shuts off the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Because people fear what man would think of them if they were found out they are lost. That was one of the things I had to get over. I just remember when I was lost, then I came back from RU one night, and I walked up to the pastor, and I said, I got to tell him, I'm lost, Pastor. I realize I'm lost. Every other time we tried to tell other people we're lost, man, they jumped all over us, didn't they? They about wanted to hang us on the cross herself. You can't say, no. Yeah, I'm lost. I could not be convinced that I was ever saved, ever. Never. It just never fit. It never worked. Just nothing. It never fit in. It just wasn't right. I knew it for sure. I just was lost. But man comes in. Oh no. Man, listen, look at your life. Look at how you dress now. I mean, you're so faithful to the church. You're all right, man. Better check that. I'm just telling you. Better check it. You know why? The Bible is clear that religious people go to hell. Just telling you. Religious people go to hell. There's just a greater damnation, what it says. because you're a fake. There would be nothing sadder than to see somebody from the Black Creek Baptist Church having to get tossed in the flames of hell for being religious. And if I didn't love you, I wouldn't say anything. But I truly believe that I love you guys. I believe God loves you even more than I ever could. And I believe that he would have that changed. I believe that. I believe he would have that changed. That's why I always say, never follow anything I do, because I'll lead you the wrong way. Please follow what God does. Please follow his standards. He's got you. He knows what he's doing. I'm standing here today because of God, not because of Dale. My mother, I love her. She did the best she could raising me, but I'm not here today because of my mother. I'm not here because New York State penal system corrected me. I'm not here because of that. I'm not here because Budweiser put me up here or Jack Daniels. I'm not here because I get a paycheck every week, because I do not. I'm here because Jesus Christ changed a person's life. That's why I stand before you today. Because my hope is not in anything that this world has or can ever give me, but it's in Jesus Christ. I'm probably one of the biggest mess-ups in this church. You just don't see it because I do it all at home. But I tell you, I wouldn't trade my life. I wouldn't trade my life. I wouldn't trade what I have for anything you could ever offer me. I wouldn't trade my life for what these other churches around here teaching their people they're supposed to be love. I wouldn't trade it all for any kind of number. I'd rather sit in a Black Creek Baptist church and have somebody preach to me a King James Bible the rest of my life than ever move anywhere else. Because I know it's going to be the truth. And I know that there's somebody standing up here. We got Pastor Hankins, our pastor, who will stand up here and they preach because they love us. They want to see what they know what Jesus Christ can do for us. Do you know how lucky we are? We don't only have one great man of God. We have two that live in this church. And they love us. You don't think they love us? You don't think they pray for us? You don't think you hear listen to Pastor Chesmore how he walks in these pews and he prays for every he knows where every one of you sit, he knows when you're missing. Because they got rid of man's standards and started living by God's standard. That's what happened. You know what the Lord's teaching me? Get rid of man's standards, Dale. Start living by my standards. And I use this as a funny illustration. Nobody ever told me how to dress. Pastor never came over to my house secretly and said, Dale, I think you need to start, you know, dressing. Never in a million years did he ever come and do that. But you know what? It was never a burden. Never a burden for me to change the outside. You know why? Because the inside was completely changed. Not perfect, but it was new. Created me a clean heart. David knew what he had to ask. David knew he needed a new heart because he was born with a wicked heart. He knew that he needed to have one created in him that was new. Guess what God did to Dale Moore? He created me a clean heart.
Amen.
So guess what happened? Hey, my tattoos are all still there, aren't they? Pastor knows they used to bother me. I hated my tattoos after salvation. I hated them. But you know what? The Lord comforted my heart with? I want people to see where I brought you from. You know why? So he can get the glory. There's no glory coming from who I am or who I used to be. The glory is coming from where I'm going with Jesus Christ. It's not where I used to be that matters. It's where he's brought me and where he continues to bring me. People laugh because I'm growing my hair. And you know why I'm growing my hair? Not because any man told me. I tell you that much right now. I'm not good at listening to men. I'm still a little rebellious. You know why though, honestly? Really, it became out of laziness. And then my wife said she liked it. And I just looked in the mirror one day. I said, gosh, I don't look so mean. Because I don't want to fit in the mold that I have to be mean anymore. I was mean my whole life.
Yeah.
Tired of being mean. Tired of people looking at me, look, he must be a tough guy. I don't want people to, I could care less if you thought I was a tough guy or not, man. You know why? Because the Lord was just trying to show me. Man, it's just time to change the hair. That's really what it was. And it was such a comforting thing to do. Listen, I'm wearing mousse in my hair. I actually get up and put mousse in my hair. And you know what, though? It's comforting. I know that, oh man, look, why is he preaching on mousse and all that? No. Because it wasn't a hard thing for me. Nobody forced it on me. It was just a standard that God put into my life for me to grow my hair, and so I don't look so mean. And it's just something he put in my heart. And it just came, it just flowed. Like when I changed my outfit, it just flowed. There was no pressure, you see? I asked my wife, I said, Amy, remember the standards we tried to follow before salvation? She said, yeah. I said, how comfortable are they now that God gave it to you? She said, they are very comfortable. It's very comfortable when God sets standards in your life just to go through them. There's no oppression with it. I don't feel oppressed because of the way I dress or the way I comb my hair or the way I live my life. I don't feel any oppression whatsoever. It just becomes a natural thing. Why? Because it created a new heart in me. He gave me a new heart, new desires. I'm not going to be able to finish this. This one part I wanted to read, though. The standards of man have long oppressed people in churches. The way they dress, live, walk, and talk because of what man has given them. It shuts off the conviction of the Holy Ghost because people fear what man would think they found out that they are lost. Man's fear and standards are destroying the work that God wants to do. This is why God has backed out of so many churches, because man has stepped in. They do it all for their own power and claim it's the power of God, when 99% of their own church people are lost and dying and going to hell, and some man has set there some standard for them to live by and reassures them that they're okay. Deep inside, these people know that they are lost and dying, but the oppression of man and their standards are forced on them, and the work of God is stopped in their life. That's what's happening. Go back and read the very first, Isaiah 49, verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles. And we'll listen to this now. And set up my standard to the people. His standard. Black Creek, we're family. I love you guys. You guys love me. We pray for each other. Let's get back to God's standard. Let's get back to what God wants. Why don't we live a life that's pleasing to Him, and who cares about the rest of the world, what they think about us? Because eventually, you know what they're going to see? The same thing I saw in Him, Jesus Christ. When you start living by God's standard, He will move you all the way. He will move you all the way. Live by God's standard and not ours. Pastor, I'm done.